Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Howdy, third hour. Company from the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage on this Monday around the country. What's going on? Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Oh, my God. I mean, it has been a chore. It's been a challenge to make sure we get it all in. The first hour.
I'm telling you.
With the games from this weekend, what Mahomes did, the Niners defense, the Mahomes show, tighten up. First hour was sick. Second hour, all baseball, the Astros, and I've got another article. Alex Cora is a dead man walking.
Yeah, I just wrote our guy, our friend of the show, Ron Berkowitz.
What'd Burke have to say?
Because Burke represents, he reps him.
Cora?
Yeah.
Get him on the show.
That's what I gotta say. Like,
might be without a job pretty soon.
What are you doing here, Burke? I mean, this is a serious one.
What did he say?
I haven't got back to me yet.
I don't know how you possibly damage control that one. Cora's in a world of hurt.
If anybody can do it, it's Burke.
He does have a magic wand. By the way, we got Pete Rose on the show tomorrow, and that was just serendipitous timing. Mike had booked him, I guess, 1 or 2 weeks out, maybe even a little bit more. And obviously, you know, with the fallout from the Astros, boom, Pete Rose tomorrow. It's going to be sweet. Terry Francona a little later in the week. All right, college football tonight. Trevor Lawrence, Joe Burrow, battle the Tigers. Both teams yet to lose. Coaches reach for that, you know, that underdog card that they play very well. Let me play first up Dabo Swinney with high praise for Joe Burrow.
He's very smart, and he's very accurate, and he has a great understanding, and he keeps them in the right play. You know, they really empower him to run the offense, and he'll get them in and out of a bad play and into the best, you know, case scenario a lot.
All right, so that's the Clemson side. How about Eddie O, who is a perfect encapsulation of the Bayou, the passion, the energy? Eddie O, on the potential of maybe this one being a little tight.
It's been a while since we've been in a tight game. So we practiced some situations today where we're in tight situations. We can't panic. I don't think our guys will. It's going to be a tight game. We know that. It's going to come down to the end. It may come down to the last play. It may not. We don't know that, but we're going to have to prepare for that. We're going to have that type of mindset.
Yeah, we're going to go with what he said. Let me ask you this, Teague. You know, I take away from a player's point of view.
Yeah.
I'm just going to toss it without even injecting how I'm going to give this right to you. From a player's point of view, and really from a coach's point of view, is it more beneficial to have gone through what Clemson went through in the national semifinal, mm-hmm. down 16-0, I think it was?
Yep.
Was it 16? I think it was 16-0. Or from LSU's point of view, where you just come out and you bamboozle somebody and the confidence soars?
Well, it's an interesting question because in one regard for Clemson, they needed that, right? They needed to be tested by Ohio State because other than the North Carolina game, which was just, it was an anomaly game. Like they scored 50 points against everybody, mm-hmm. 62 against my Cavaliers in the ACC championship game. But you know what I mean?
32-38, I think it was.
Yeah, whatever it was. But they just dominated people for most of the season, except for that North Carolina game, scoring 45 points a game, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Their defense was fantastic, 11 points, 11.5 points a game they're giving up. But it never felt like they were in danger or tested or, man, we could actually lose. We got to snap in the focus here. And coming off of a national championship a year before, it is so hard to repeat as a national champion. One, because everybody's gunning for you, and that's a cliche. But two, there's just like this internal relaxation that happens that's, all right, we know we're better, right? We feel that we're better. We get on the field, we're physically stronger and bigger than all these teams that we play. We'll figure it out. We'll be okay no matter what happens in a game. And that never really gets tested, and it didn't get tested, save for the North Carolina game, but that's an anomaly, so it's an outlier, until they got into the college football playoff semi against Ohio State, and Ohio State hit them in the mouth. And Ohio State had a real chance to run away from them and snatch away the championship, but they kept short-circuiting in the red zone. And so Clemson was able to just barely hang on by like an inch. They were hanging on to the game against Ohio State, and then they were able to like start grabbing more cloth. And like you grab something, you just have it by the very tiniest of thread. Mm-hmm. And instead of pulling away like Ohio State should have, they let them just inch that like middle finger on. Now you got the ring finger on, and you get the pinky on. And all of a sudden, now you got a full handful of cloth. And before you know it, you got both hands and you snatch it back. That's what Clemson did to Ohio State. And they needed that because they hadn't seen it all season. And so, honestly, I got to say Clemson's in the better spot because we know they're great. Like you don't score 45 points a game and destroy people like they do and limit teams to less than two touchdowns the way that they do and not be great. They just needed to be woken up, and that I felt like Ohio State woke them up. Now, the beauty for LSU on the other side of this is that they've won in so many different ways, mm-hmm. right? Because that Auburn game was a slug out, man. Auburn played them tight, but they were able to find a way to win. Ugly, but they found a way to win, and they blew out Oklahoma, which may give them a little bit extra confidence. I'd say
even the Bama game, when Tua threw that late bomb.
That's right.
You were on the call.
That's right.
That late bomb, you're like, what's going on? Like, they had to get over that hurdle. Yep. That was a mental obstacle. That was a huge impediment.
I think
it's had to galvanize.
I think the bigger advantage is for Clemson to have gone what they went through with Ohio State than LSU to have blown out Oklahoma. Because we all knew LSU was going to blow out Oklahoma. They knew it. Oklahoma knew it. They just tried to stem it as much as they could.
I agree. Now let me flip this to you. Is that offset by what could be 70%-ish LSU Tiger fans here tonight?
A lot. It's a home game, man.
There's no doubt.
This is at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome down in New Orleans. I mean, I was listening to Dabo's press conference a couple days ago. He's like, I don't even know if those guys got on a plane. They probably just got on a bus and came over for a couple hours, you know, from Baton Rouge to New Orleans. And so the fan base is clearly going to be on LSU's side. Now, tickets don't work that way. I don't know what the inside the dome is going to actually feel like. But surrounding, it's going to be all LSU. Like, you're not going to find Clemson, like a Clemson bar that people have been hanging out.
I disagree. Clemson's I'm not saying they're going to be in the stadium as much as outside the bars. Clemson's going to be, so you see a lot of orange.
I don't know, man.
Oh, they're not laying down for this. They are ready to go.
Okay.
Well, ask Lee Bryce, who's there, by the way.
Okay, it's not about like traveling there. It's like they're going to be overwhelmed. I can imagine the LSU fan base. Everybody's there. It's in their state. You know what I mean? New Orleans. They're come over from Baton Rouge, wherever they come. I can imagine it's probably like 8-1.
I have a rough time. I hear you based on just the sheer logistics of the city. I have a rough time thinking Tiger fans don't infiltrate that a little bit more, Clemson Tiger fans, a little more effectively than 8-1.
Maybe.
In the bars and the streets. And
maybe.
I mean, we'll get the answer of Lee Bryce, who's awesome. And Lee's going to join us big time. I mean, he's a legend with his songwriting and his music. And he's a friend of Tiki and Tierney. Went to Clemson, was a walk-on snapper. He's going to join us in about 5 minutes. Experience as a championship team, which Clemson has.
Yeah.
Is that – let me ask you this. What would be more appealing to you? To play in front of the home fans, in essence, or to know that you're already a champion? Which will play more of a factor tonight?
Well, there's so much, like any of these games on any level, whether it's high school playing for a high school championship, which I never did, playing for a college championship, which I also never did, but I did play in some big bowl games back when bowl games mattered before the college football playoff, or playing in a Super Bowl, which I also did. The same thing applies. Like the higher the stage, like the bigger the step up the plateau and the reward that comes from being on that plateau, the more distracting it is, right? There's so much noise, like there's nonsense. How many shows can I watch telling me I'm the greatest person, you know, that ever played this position?
Yeah.
Whether you're Joe Burrow or Travis Etienne or Trevor Lawrence or whoever it may be, Jefferson, wide receiver for LSU, like. That's what you're going to hear, not just on TV. You're hearing it all day on radio. You know, not that they're on campus, so to speak, and practicing and walking around in class. They may be, but I doubt it. But you know what I mean? Like you've been inundated with just noise, and it's atypical. And so, having done it before, like Clemson has, you can block it out. Like, you know what to listen to. You know what not to do. You know what interviews not to get trapped into, or, you know, hey, we're going to have a party for you guys. Like, you know, like, it's, you got to remember, these are college kids, man. They're not, like, adults. So it's whatever team can, I don't know, distance themselves from those distractions, just focus on playing a game. It's a cliche, obviously. But I think that's the team that's going to win. And ultimately, that comes with experience, as Clemson obviously has.
I don't know who's going to win tonight.
I have no idea.
To the point where it's 5:13 and 12 seconds. Our show's over in a little more than 45 minutes. I don't know who I'm going to pick.
Well, like, BT, the bigger thing, like, we said this last year. Until Clemson just dominated. Clemson was dominant last year from start to finish. Mm-hmm. They blew out, I forget who they played, Oklahoma in the semifinal. They blew out Alabama in the championship. It was the first undefeated national champion in the college football playoff. Well, we're going to get a second one this year, because mm-hmm. both these teams have had, you know, great dominance at points in the season. And so you look at their strengths. LSU scores and plays with such pace that it's, I don't care how good you are, how do you keep up? But then you look at Clemson's defense, and they're as dominant as any unit has been over the last couple of years, both, you know, in their you know, how they attack the run and how they attack the pass, and they certainly don't give up points. And so, like, there's no advantage. Like, you can't pick one thing and say, well, this team's quarterback, LSU's quarterback, has this advantage over Clemson's D, or Clemson's run game has this advantage over LSU. There's none of that. Like, everything feels equal in so many different ways. And so to pick one would be impossible. To bet this game would be stupid, because you don't know. You really have no idea.
You just never know. Betting. No, I hear you. Here's what I'm a little conflicted with, aside from who I'm going to bet, to answer that directly. You know, independent of that, and it would just be a little fun, nothing big, obviously. I don't mess around big. But just for the greater good of the sport, I'm conflicted because dynasties are a great thing.
I agreed.
All right, so if Clemson wins, it's three championships, and you are an absolute dynasty.
But aren't they already there, kind of?
Yes, yes. Yeah. In a lot of ways, they are. Sure, but, yeah, they
but,
are.
But I hear what you're saying.
But this just hammers it.
Well, it allows them to actually get on that plateau with Alabama.
Correct.
Right? So they're like grabbing, like reaching up to grab, like get on that plateau with Alabama right now. That's what it feels like. And if they win,
yeah,
then they're there.
Yeah, then they're on the platform.
That's right.
But if LSU wins, you can make the very good case that while Clemson's dynasty is already born, tonight will just boom be the solidifying force for those who don't believe it's fully fledged into or fully morphed into a dynasty. But then you also say, boy, there's something also pretty cool about having, you know, multiple elite heavyweight teams where it's not, I mean, the whole Bama thing was getting old.
Mm-hmm. And I don't disagree with that.
I have no problem with Alabama. Yeah. Yeah, I think Nick Saban's unnecessarily mean.
It's the greatest place in the world to go watch a football game. If you don't have to have a dog in the fight, go watch an Alabama football game.
I've heard LSU's better.
And that's the thing.
LSU at night.
Well, LSU when they're winning.
For sure.
When they're like great, it's different. But yeah, when they're average, like they were 3 years ago, it's not so great.
Yeah, yeah. But then you'd have, you know, the Buckeyes are going to be loaded again. Mm-hmm. They always are. They're always on the short list of you know, being championship viable. You know, Bama's losing a lot, so I think it would be a little lazy to just assume that Alabama's going to get right back to the perch. Matter of fact, I don't think they will. But they're still Alabama, so you have to give them the respect that they might. And they have Nick Saban.
Yeah.
And then if LSU wins a championship, Clemson's got two. I mean, it's like, boy, there's a lot of people at the big boy table all of a sudden.
Yeah, you know? Just to drop back to Alabama for a second. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw the pregame speech by their special teamers, the linebacker who
spoke Alabama? To them
for Alabama.
Before
they played Michigan in the Citrus Bowl.
No.
He gave their pregame speech, like, on the field, not like in the locker room. On the field, they gave a pregame speech. It was as calm and, like, scary a pregame speech as you ever heard, because it was just, he was speaking like, we're going to go out here, we're going to do exactly what we're supposed to do, blah, 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 blah. We're going to show these guys why we don't belong in this game. Let's go.
Yeah, that sounds like a pretty lame speech, man.
No, it was awesome.
I mean,
I want to find it for you.
I'll find it. I prefer Drew Brees' methods.
No, I'm
personally.
Telling you. It was intense, man. And having been on a stage where you're like in a game that you probably shouldn't be in.
Yeah.
Meaning, dude, we're better than this.
Yeah.
That's what kind of speech it was.
No,
and it explains why they put the hammer down on Michigan.
Yeah, they did. All right, coming up, Lee Brice. He's probably putting a few belts down now. He's how many deep is Lee in? We know Lee likes his scotch. How many scotches is Lee Brice? He's got to be at least three in at this point. He's got to be.
He better be.
He better be. He's right. Lee Brice, our buddy, legendary voice.
You know,
Lee
there's
Brice,
a couple of songs and
CDs or albums with the word radio. Rumor in it. How do rumors get started? Remember that song, Teak? I know you do. Fleetwood Mac had Rumors, the CD, one of the great CDs. And our boy, our buddy, our friend Lee Brice, that is good work right there, mm-hmm. Rumor. Everything he says, everything he writes, it just hits home on a human level. He's awesome. We love him. We're also a little biased because we know him. But if you don't know him, you obviously love his music because he is a worldwide star. He's also a big-time Clemson fan because he went there, mm-hmm. and he played there. He was the long snapper, a walk-on. So, Lee, the question is, he's down in Louisiana for the game tonight, getting ready to watch his Clemson Tigers hopefully beat, from his point of view, LSU. We want to know, how many scotches or beers deep is Lee Brice right now? How many pops you had so far, Lee?
Listen. I got my little kid with me, with my brother and my daddy. Well, daddy's also holds it back a little bit, but we are two hurricanes in.
Woof!
And a virgin hurricane for Dakota.
Okay. Attaboy, responsible
man,
dad.
We actually made our way. We parked about a mile out. I mean, really, a mile ain't nothing. We walked into the French Quarter. We stopped and kind of had a little pause and enjoyed ourselves for a minute and worked our way on over to the hotel. And we're only about 4 blocks away from the stadium, so now we're about to head on in after this interview. But, man, this is awesome, and we are having a ball.
Yeah, no, I bet you are, Lee. Like, BT and I were having a discussion about how well Clemson would travel to this game. Not necessarily just because of how the Clemson Tigers faithful travel. We know they travel. But relative to LSU fans, which are right there, what's the ratio? I thought it would be like 8-1 LSU Clemson.
Nah.
What's the ratio down there right now, Lee?
Man, the ratio is pretty good. I think I'd have to look harder, but I mean, there's a lot. I mean, here's the deal. Like, you can walk downtown to the French Quarter, you can look up in apartments, places that you know people live.
Yeah.
And there's just, you know, LSU jerseys and flags hanging everywhere because this is literally
their backyard.
Home.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a lot of people here, I don't know how many of those people are going to the game. But I will say there is a lot of Clemson Tigers.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen them representing hardcore, but it's really cool because, you know, these people down here, all of these folks down here, these locals, they're so sweet and very, very respectful and awesome. And we've been having good conversations and we're all excited about this game. You know, I mean, I really think this might be the most evenly matched kind of 1-2 punch.
Yep.
Game in a long time, really. I mean, this is exciting. You know, if both teams show up and don't make big mistakes, it could be a battle, a big time battle, you know, to remember for a long time.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you. We're talking to Lee Brice, country music icon and big time Clemson fan. He went mm-hmm. there. He's a walk on. It's in his blood, and he's with us here on Teak. He's here, a good friend of our show. Met him a couple of years back. Just a class act, a real dude. I mean, listen, Lee, I want you to quantify your level of, not excitement, we know you're ready to roll, your degree of confidence. I mean, let's face it, man, Joe Burrow's not playing this year, and neither is that LSU team, 14-0, like you guys. Are you confident that you win tonight?
You know, I am confident because I feel like it does come down to the tiny things. I mean, I really do. But it comes down to the tiny stuff of discipline, mistakes, because I feel like overall, if you just look at everything from the fact that we got the number one defense, they got a good defense, but it's not number one, but they got a great offense, obviously Joe and what he does, but we have a great offense. I feel like we all line up pretty well. I feel like it's going to come down to the men that are playing on that field. And I just tell you one thing, Dabo, he has been coaching these guys not to just be football players, but to be responsible, stand-up men, human beings that do the right thing, do their job. And I feel like that just maybe we'll get that edge right there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I do know. I'm excited about the game because I know, as long as both teams show up and don't make anything stupid, you know, too many stupid mistakes, I mean, it's hard to tell because you're right. I mean, LSU, in fact, the very first game of the season, I happened to be watching LSU.
Against Oregon.
And I remember saying to myself and to a couple of buddies at that moment that that's the team to beat this year.
Yeah.
And they weren't, you know, LSU wasn't like all over the news for about 3 or 4 or 5 weeks in the first beginning of the season. You know, they were just LSU and they were doing well, and they were doing good. But then, you know, they started to break out and they became. But I knew from the very beginning that they were going to be, because I watched them, and I'm telling you, look, yes, I know these boys are as good as it gets.
Yeah.
They're as good as Alabama was. They're as good as, you know, they're as good as you can get. But so are we. If we're playing great and we all show up. So it's hard to say anything about this game other than the fact that I think we got the two best teams in the country.
No, you're right.
Sure.
Yeah, they definitely got this one right. 14, not that they had any choice but to get it right because they're both undefeated and one's the reigning national champion. But Lee, your first year was what, 98, 99? Down there?
Yeah, 98 and 99, and then I left out of there 2000.
Gotcha. So you were with Tommy West and then Tommy Bowden, so, right?
Yeah, so I was Tommy West last year, and I was Tommy Bowden's first year.
And so the thing that's interesting is back then, because that's when I left UVA, Clemson was, I mean, they were okay. You guys were 7-5-ish. Yeah. You know, you were okay.
Yeah.
To see this ascension of this Clemson program to where BT and I were just having this discussion, like you're climbing on a plateau to be upstanding with Alabama's of the world, right? As the destinies, these dynasties.
And I mean, after that time, when I was there, you know, we were always a winning team. You know, we went to Peach Bowl, we went to this bowl, we went to that bowl. But after that, after I left, a couple of years after that, it did become, for even 10 years, it became, well, we would win 10 games and lose two, or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was very good. It just wasn't national championship, and then the playoffs came along, and that's when we stepped up. So when Dabo popped in, man, whenever, you know, it's like he really did start changing it. People didn't realize that we were winning 10 games a season. They didn't really give us the credit even then, you know. I think it was 10, like 9 years in a row.
Yeah, 10-4, 11-2, 11-2, 10-3.
So that's a good place to be, and we always felt good about it. But, man, yeah, Dabo just has done something to these kids and done something to the whole program. And even Venables was talking yesterday, and they said, hey, why aren't you, you know, offense coordinator somewhere or head coach somewhere? He said, well, I think one of the biggest reasons for our success is the fact that we don't change. In other words, that we have a group of people that we can depend on and grow with every year. He said, that's why I ain't going nowhere. That's why Dabo's not going anywhere. We love it here.
Yeah. Yeah, you see that. So, whereas you see Nick Saban, he loses two or three members of his staff every season, it feels like.
Yeah, but, you know, you can understand that.
Yeah, of course.
You can understand it. But Venables and a lot of the guys, the mentality of Clemson is family, and they go, we have strength in that. You know, they feel like that's a big part of their success. So, hey, I'm a fan of how they're doing things there at Clemson now. You know, I really am.
Got to be.
Uh-huh. There we go. A little hurricane starting to seep into the conversation. Lee Bryce. Hey, Lee, you know what I wanted to ask you? When we first met you, you had just released the song Boy.
Yep.
Which, and my son, who just turned 5, was a little guy. I mean, he was real little. And I remember listening to that and driving home with tears in my eyes, in all sincerity. How much of your work, how much of your inspiration is drawn from, I don't want to say Clemson football per se from an X's and O's point of view, no, but like the relationship with your dad, watching Clemson as a kid, how much do you draw on that?
Honestly, like just about 90%, 100%, because, and it's not just Clemson, but that was a part of what my family was. That was a part of what the connection between me and my daddy. That was a part of what me and my brother are still connected with. But all the other little things, too, that is the connection. And so it's honestly really, really seriously awesome to be able to say, okay, I got a picture from 2016 with me and my daddy and my brother, tears in our eyes at the last minute. I got it, and I got it framed. And then last year, I got a picture of Dakota was there, my son, so he's added to the equation in this picture. I'm just hoping to get that third picture out of 4 years would be something really, really special. But it's, you know, upbringing. You know, that was a part of my upbringing.
Yeah.
Clemson, you know, so I don't know what else to tell you.
Of course, man. Hey, listen, get back to the party, boy. Get back to the party.
Yep.
Oh, God, boy, you gonna mess around. Get out there. And by, I just decided.
Where's your tire going?
Hey, I'm betting Clemson today. I wasn't sure, to be honest with you.
You just convinced him, Lee. You just convinced him.
Put a little something on the Orange Tigers.
We'll see what happens. Y'all know where my heart will be. I'll be somewhere in a corner about 20 rows up.
Nice.
Enjoy it.
Just me and my brother and my daddy and Lewis, and we're going to try to bring the good luck charm, but y'all have a good night. Y'all enjoy it, and good luck to everybody. I think it's going to be a great night.
Appreciate you, Lee. Go Tigers. That's not with the E-A-U-X either, just the O.
Just the conventional G-O. Yeah. But what about N-E-O?
Y'all
maybe.
Be good.
See you, pal. Thank you, Lee. I mean, yeah, he's such a regular guy. I mean, really, awesome. His Instagram is a worthy follow because it's not all these pictures. There's a few things, of course, with work, but you know, him in like at country award ceremonies, getting trophies or getting awards or being honored. It's him playing golf with his boys, yeah. You know, fishing, popping a few back, hanging out with his wife, obviously spending quality time and doing dad things with his kids. That is a quality dude right there. I'm happy he's a friend of the show.
Yeah, he doesn't care about the brand building.
No. He is awesome. If you haven't really truly listened to Lee Bryce's work, give yourself a... You know, listen, admittedly, I'm not a country... I wasn't a big country music guy. I mean, my mom, I told you this, you know, as a kid growing up in Brooklyn, had Kenny Rogers. I love Kenny Rogers. And like the Statler, what was that other group? The Gatlin Boys. What was that other?
I think Statler's
was
right.
It the Statler Brothers.
The Statler Brothers. You know, and obviously Dolly Parton, like these mainstream. But then, you know, I branched into a little... I know you've loved it for a long time.
Wow.
But you listen to his words, and it's about, you know, having a couple of pops and thinking about family and love and being a dad and all those great things. He's tremendous.
Especially when one of my favorite artists, Hootie and the Blowfish, became just Darius Rucker.
Yeah, that's true.
And realized that all of those Hootie songs are kind of country songs.
Yeah.
it kind of flipped me.
Yeah, that's true. Axe update is right now. We'll come back. We'll give you final thoughts on the game tonight. Circle back to some of the baseball stuff with the Astros, which Ack will provide the details of, and we'll get to the blast as well. Here's Ack's update. All right, Teak, it is time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day here on Teak and Tierney, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question coming in from Jonathan Munoz. Let's see. Do you think teams wouldn't mind cheating a year just to win a championship and deal with the repercussions later since they didn't strip away the trophy or the title? The Pats, the Saints did it. Now the Astros and the Red Sox. You know, hey, Jonathan, take the first crack. It's a great question.
Yeah.
Teams maybe be willing to cheat and deal with repercussions because titles are not being stripped?
That's what we kind of broached a little bit, BT, in a sense, yeah. Because... Yeah, I mean, of course it's going to cost somebody their job, but that one person or the organization gets fined $5 million seems insignificant compared to the glory that the players are going to have and possess and really not lose. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe there'll be an association in some people's minds.
Yeah,
but
that'll fade over time.
Exactly.
That'll fade.
Exactly. When you look at their wiki page, it'll say champion.
That's right. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every single day.
Just like Chris Carter said, you got to have a fall guy.
Got to have a fall guy.
Thank you, A.J. Hinch. That's jacked up.
I don't know if you say it at the rookie symposium.
Well, I know.
Did.
Yeah, you're right. But interestingly, though, the more you like dig into the report, I mean, AJ Hinch, he really didn't want this to happen. Like he tried to disable Alex Cora's like machine. Alex Cora bought a new one. He discouraged guys from doing these things. But the one thing I will say about AJ Hinch and why I think he deserves to be fired is he didn't display leadership.
Yep.
Like if in his mind and his convictions, this was completely against the rules, you stand up in your clubhouse and you say, guys, we are not doing this, period. And if you want to do this, I'll send you back down to the minors.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody has a problem with it, come see me and we'll go talk to our owner about it, right? That's all he had to do.
Yeah.
And it didn't happen.
And he had the juice to do it.
And he absolutely
had the juice to do it. Because he had some success.
Yep.
It's not like John Beilein trying to do that, you know, 40 games in with the Cavaliers who
exactly right.
might walk the other way. I don't know. By the way, if you want to check out, and I think you might, some great takes, great conversation today, just go check out our podcast, radio.com, or the radio.com app, Apple iTunes, CBSSportsRadio.com. All the ways to find our show, download, and subscribe today. All right, let's blast away. We'll give you a couple final thoughts on the game tonight.
So many topics, so little time. We give you five stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for The Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
All right. As LSU fans are plowing through their hurricanes right now, they might be happy to learn that LSU's Joe Brady says he's not going to leave LSU despite rumors that Rule and the Panthers really want him. Should he stay at LSU or jump back to the NFL?
Yeah, I think he should stay because he has a shot at being a head coach somewhere, which when you think about his path coming from the Saints where he wasn't a coordinator, going to LSU where he became an architect or at least responsible, even if it
good
was.
Description.
But yeah, exactly,
good description.
Exactly. For this explosion of an offense, if he puts another year in and they continue this without Joe Burrow, then he's going to get a head coaching job somewhere, whether it's in college or maybe even in the NFL if teams are digging or pulling down in the college ranks for a head coach. So I'm going to say I think he's right to stay because he ups his chances to take the ultimate jump.
I think you hit that pretty well. Let's face it, the finances have changed so much that the motivation to jump to the NFL just to get that big payday, those days are gone.
That's right.
You're getting those paydays on campus. And that seems to be a practical route to follow. Listen, I think Matt Rhule is going to be eventually wildly successful with the Panthers. But he's already got the Saints on his resume. He dabbled there. I mean, this is turning into quarterback It could. And if it does, he's going to write his name wherever he wants, pros or college. So, yeah, I agree with you. The Lakers promote Rob Pelinka to the VP of Basketball Ops, credit him with success rather than magic. A little side shade and magic there. Magic is watching. Who do you credit more, Magic or Pelinka? Pelinka. And I'm going to tell you something that I don't like saying. I was wrong. I was really wrong about Rob Pelinka. I thought he was well in over his head.
Yep.
Let's face it, Magic Johnson drafted Lonzo Ball. Lonzo Ball's not that. He's not special.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's a scrub, but he's not special. And you know,
by the way, put him in the rafters after
the opening press conference. He did say we expect to see you up there with Wilt and my number and everything Worthy, etc. Also, Rob Pelinka hired a coach that you and I looked at each other and said, then we got to the dynamic with the assistant coach Jason Kidd. He said, all right, this is going to be untenable. It's not.
No.
There's great chemistry. Rob Pelinka is doing a good job. Yeah. I was wrong.
Look, you were right, but you also turned out to be wrong. You're right because he was wholly unqualified for the job. He was an agent, BT. He was
so
not.
So was Bob Myers with the Warriors.
True. But he was not qualified for the job. Where we were wrong is how quickly he adjusted to doing the job. Now, maybe part of
he was doing the job earlier. Magic kept sabotaging.
I was going to say, that was my point. Maybe it was the combination of them that were kind of holding each other back. I mean, look, I love Magic. I think he's awesome. I saw him at an event a few months ago. He's as gregarious and outgoing and as the perfect ambassador for sport that you could imagine.
Back to being Magic,
but
he's
got an ego. You got to get things done. You got to do things Magic's way. What is it? And I think that was the rub. And ultimately, one of them had to go.
And the one thing about Magic, and that smile is sincere for sure. But the one thing about Magic, when he does well, he wants the adulation. When things go a little awry, Magic's not afraid to call somebody up and say, hey, oh, by the way, I wasn't in on this. It was him. It's just to keep it real. The Knicks. Keep it real.
They won.
They really suck.
They won. They won last night.
They did. Yeah, R.J. Barrett played very well. They beat Miami at the Garden. It was pretty good. Yay, we won a game. Knicks and the Hawks here. Among other teams, look at a deal for Pistons big man Andre Drummond. Can he be a difference maker?
Really?
That was reported. The Knicks angle was, Thursday or Friday.
What kind of offense are you trying to run? Maybe you're going for the defense, rim protector type.
An antiquated one.
That's what I mean. Like, I'm trying to figure out the value here. I mean, is this contract expiring? I mean, he's 27. He's young. Maybe you can change his game and involve his game a little bit. But I don't know what the question was, but I don't see the point.
Can he be a difference maker? And obviously, difference maker being what? Jumping into the championship viable category?
You hear me lost here for a reason.
Put the camera on these two clowns on the other side. Look at them. Santhers beat Red from laughing. And Diso, who never laughs, he's laughing. The hell's so funny? Listen. Andre Drummond is not worth anything. He is a good player, but what he does well does not impact the game enough to mold your roster around him. No. If he's your third best player, yeah, okay. You know, he's going to get big money because he's deeper into his career. I'd rather have Mitchell Robinson, who's making peanuts as a second-round pick, or other players. No, the Knicks shouldn't do this. The Hawks shouldn't do it. Like, if, you know, the Lakers, the Clippers, or, you know, the Pacers, or, I don't know.
Sam's just trying to give me stats. He's like, he led the league in rebounds.
I know four of the last 5 years. I know exactly what
he's
done.
What does that mean?
Nothing, because the Pistons stink. So
is he putting the ball in the basket? Yeah, that means all these Pistons are probably like 80% offensive rebounds, right?
He's a good player.
They'll put the ball in the basket.
In the wrong era.
That's right.
I don't know how else to say it.
I mean, maybe he could be like a mini Rudy Gobert, but
he's not an athlete.
That's
Gobert's
what I mean.
An athlete.
That's what I mean.
He's heavy footed. He's thick. No, he's a little lumbering.
Why do you even come up with that question?
No,
Sam?
It was in the news. I'll defend Samter on that. Lightly.
You shouldn't.
I did read the story.
Andre Drummond and the Knicks.
Story.
I mean, because they
and
won.
The guy
last
does
night?
Get 15 rebounds a night.
Okay,
you know, if everybody in the league is shooting, you got one guy doing what Drummond is doing. The competitive advantage.
There's other guys that are doing what Drummond is doing.
Not many at all. 15 rebounds.
Whiteside. That's what he does.
He's not
as good.
Whiteside.
Maybe.
We already moved on. Okay. To Nolan Arenado. More likely to be, speaking of trades, more likely to be traded than Mookie Betts or Francisco Lindor.
Mookie Betts
Lindor
is
got
not
the 17. He might. And Lindor got the $17 million arbitration, as we know. Which of the three would be the
Mookie
biggest?
He got 27, didn't he?
I know he did. Which of the three would be the biggest game changer for a new team?
Mookie, of course.
I don't know if there's an of course attached to that.
Okay, you tell me. It's
well,
your,
you tell
your
me.
Question.
You said of course, so you're obviously passionate about the Mookie.
Because you know how the arbitration Mookie. System works. Mookie!
He's just blurting things out here. Mookie. Go ahead. Well, Mookie Blaylock. Mookie Wilson.
What, do we play basketball now?
Mookie did. So listen, what's your answer? Come
it's
on,
Mookie.
I want to answer this.
It's
I like
Mookie.
The question.
You know how the arbitration system works.
I know.
It's all value. And he was valued at 10 times more than what's his name?
By a bunch of pencil pushers.
Okay, but still.
Doesn't mean that it's the truth.
Analytics are taking over the game. So I'm saying Mookie.
On some level, they are. Okay.
Hey, Mookie.
My answer might actually be Lindor.
Come on, do the
plays
right thing.
A more important position. He plays. Oh, Jesus. I'm not going to answer this. Why am I going to try to answer
evolving.
This? Would you eat gummies before the show?
No.
My answer is Lindor. I put a little more emphasis on the middle of the diamond than the middle of the outfield.
You worry about the health?
A little bit. No, that's fair. That is fair.
But Mookie, you gotta actually learn. You gotta grow into learning how to be healthy, though. That's the other thing.
Yeah, but you can learn but does it work? You can learn. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I'm sure guys who are hurt often have learned, but their body doesn't respond. Like me, basically.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
All right. I'm going to take Clemson tonight. I've come to that very late determination in the show.
Go,
I'm going to take
Tigers.
The five. I don't know who's going to win, though. I think we get a shootout. I think we get some all-time great stuff. At least that's what I hope.
Mm-hmm.
And I do agree with what you said earlier in the show, that the value that Clemson took away from that Ohio State game, being down early, it's a little more valuable than the last game LSU played, beating an inferior Oklahoma team by 1,000 points. I got the Tigers.
So I'm simply going to look at, and this is a bias, and it's not right because college football is different than the NFL. Who are the guys that are going to be stars on the NFL level?
Mm-hmm.
I think both quarterbacks will be.
Yep.
I don't know if Edwards-Helaire is going to be, but I do know that Travis Etienne will be.
Yeah.
I know that T. Higgins will be.
Yeah.
Jefferson probably will
Jefferson
be for LSU
be.
As
Come
well.
On.
And then you throw in the defensive side of the ball, it's going to be more Tigers. Clemson Tigers than LSU Tigers.
Going Clemson.
I'm going to say Clemson.
All right.
And it's tight one.
And a tight one. That'll work with the 5 points. I hope it's 5 points tight. Have a great game. Enjoy. We'll see you tomorrow.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.